Welcome to day 337 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host at Hidden with Christ Ministries, and today we are going to be completing the book of 1 Corinthians. We are switching over to the New American Standard Bible for this week's reading, and today we will cover chapters 15 and 16 of 1 Corinthians. So, beginning at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse 1. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. For I am the least of the apostles, and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now, if Christ is preached, that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith also is vain. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we testified against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after that those who are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. For he has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when he says all things are put in subjection, it is evident that he is accepted who put all things in subjection to him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself also will be subjected to the one who subjected all things to him, so that God may be all in all. Otherwise, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why then are they baptized for them? Why are we also in danger every hour? I affirm, brethren, by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If from human motives I fought with wild beasts at Ephesus, what does it profit me? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Become sober-minded as you ought and stop sinning. for some have no knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But someone will say, how are the dead raised, and with what kind of body do they come? You fool, that which you sow does not come to life unless it dies, and that which you sow, you do not sow the body which is to be, but a bare grain, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body just as he wished, and to each of the seeds a body of its own. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one flesh of men and another flesh of beasts, and another flesh of birds and another of fish. There are also heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is one, and the glory of the earthly is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body, it is raised an imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man is from the earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven. As is the earthy, so also are those who are earthy. And as is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. Just as we have borne the image of the earthy, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Chapter 16. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper, so that no collections be made when I come. When I arrive, whomever you may approve, I will send them with letters to carry your gift to Jerusalem. And if it is fitting for me to go also, they will go with me. But I will come to you after I go through Macedonia. For I am going through Macedonia, and perhaps I will stay with you or even spend the winter, so that you may send me on my way wherever I may go. For I do not wish to see you now just in passing, for I hope to remain with you for some time, if the Lord permits. But I will remain in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective service has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Now if Timothy comes, see that he is with you without cause to be afraid, for he is doing the Lord's work, as I also am. So let no one despise him, but send him on his way in peace, so that he may come to me, for I expect him with the brethren. But concerning Apollos, our brother, I encouraged him greatly to come to you with the brethren, and it was not at all his desire to come now, but he will come when he has opportunity. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Now I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that they were the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves for ministry to the saints. That you also be in subjection to such men, and to everyone who helps in the work and labors. I rejoice over the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, because they have supplied what was lacking on your part, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge such men. The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Prisca greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The greeting is in my own hand, Paul. If anyone does not love the Lord, he is to be accursed. Maranatha. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love be with you all. In Christ Jesus. Amen. This is the end of today's scripture reading. Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional. In today's devotional, I want to take you to the very last verse, verse 58 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul the Apostle wrote these words of encouragement to the believers in the church in Corinth. He said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." Why did the Apostle Paul have to write those words of encouragement to the church at Corinth? It must have seemed at times, even to those believers who were spearheading the church or carrying on the work of this newborn church in the city of Corinth, that sometimes their toil, their teaching, their discipling, their work of trying to encourage these new believers to remain faithful to God must have seemed at times like their toil, their work was in vain, that they saw some failure of people that they were trying to lead, or that it didn't appear at times that the church was growing or that they were winning new converts. So he wrote these words, "My beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable. Don't be moved by what you see. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing, confident that your work is not in vain in the Lord." It's interesting to me that Paul the Apostle also had to write these same words to the Galatian church. And we heard these words when we read through chapter 6 of the epistle to the Galatians. He said to them, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." In other words, if you don't allow yourselves to become tired in doing what is right, in doing what God has told you to do, even if at times it seems like what you're doing isn't producing any type of good results. Maybe it seems in your own eyes, if you judged it with natural assessment, that it was a failure or it's not prospering. Even in those times, the Apostle Paul was saying, don't become weary in doing the right thing. Don't become weary in doing the labor that God has given to you to do. Don't allow that to possibly come into your mind. Don't think that your toil is in vain in the Lord. It's not in vain. And I felt like the Lord wanted me to encourage you today to remain steadfast, stay immovable. Even if it looks like you're witnessing to someone, you've been praying for someone, and you see absolutely no results, remain steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Don't be moved by what you see with your eyes. Don't even be moved by the length of time it's taking to see fruit in the work that God's called you to do. There have been many missionaries who worked for many years before they saw a single convert when they went to a foreign mission field. If they had given up, thought that their work was totally in vain, they would have never seen the breakthrough that God wanted them to see and to reap. Both here in 1 Corinthians 15:58 and in the book of Galatians, where Paul says, let's not become weary in doing the right thing, for in due season we shall reap if we don't faint. It's very important that we keep that in our minds and in our hearts, that God has called us to be a people who are immovable by what we see with our eyes. You know, we live in a society that judges everything by results, tangible results that can be counted. And if they can't count the heads or the money that is supposed to be the fruit of whatever work, then they call it quits and they try something else. But here we are told very clearly, let us not become weary. Don't become tired in doing what God has called you to do. In due season, we will reap a harvest. We will see results. We will get God results if we don't faint. That's what Paul told the Galatian church. And the same thing, in different words, he spoke to the Corinthian church leaders. Be steadfast. Stay steady, even if you don't see big results. Be immovable. Don't be moved by natural circumstances. Continue to abound in the work of the Lord and know confidently in your heart that your toil or your labor is never in vain in the Lord. Never. Sometimes in the ministry, we don't see any results. And we could say, well, it's not producing anything. We're just going to close the thing down. And if we did that, we would miss what God wanted from us. But God says, no, confidently in your heart, that your toil or your work is never in vain when it's done in the Lord. Let the Lord be the one that brings forth the fruit. What often happens in the work of God, whether it's something God has told you personally to do and you've been struggling to do it without any sight of any production, fruitfulness from it, what is often happening is there's a foundation being laid that God will, at the right time, bring the growth forth from that foundation that you have laid by your persistence and your steadfast, immovable, persistent work in the Lord. It reminds me of a certain type of bamboo that the Lord created that really speaks to this very idea. Remember, in Galatians, Paul wrote to them, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we don't faint. Well, that's the idea here. This type of bamboo that illustrates this principle is called Chinese Moso bamboo. And it's an interesting species of bamboo because of the way that it grows. when it is planted, it looks like nothing is happening for a long period of time because the stalks actually grow horizontally under the ground, essentially creating a very large foundational network of roots. And this preparatory stage happens during the mild tropical winter of the countries where this type of bamboo is common. As far as vertical growth, in other words, something that comes above the ground that you can see, there's not much going on. But what you cannot see is this amazing horizontal growth that's happening. When the season for growth above ground happens, the most astonishing sight can be observed in this type of bamboo. In fact, it's almost crazy what happens. The bamboo stalks of this Chinese Moso bamboo grow so fast during this season that literally you can almost hear them. Now, I say that because of the growth rate. Imagine this. When the peak growing season of this Chinese Moso bamboo hits, the average growth of this plant that looked like nothing was happening suddenly starts growing 12 to 19 inches per day. That's why I say you can almost hear it grow. It's so crazy amazing, the speed of this. And then the top growth rate on certain days during this growing season is over 3 feet in one day. That is the most astonishing growth. In less than 1 month, this bamboo stalk can grow from 6 inches to 65 feet in height. That is one of the most amazing stories of growth in any plant in all of the study of botany. And these scriptures that we've read today, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing your toil is not in vain in the Lord. It reminds me of that plant because you have to believe, remain steadfast, that something is going to happen and that it wasn't vain that you planted that seed, even though it looks like nothing is happening. Because underground, in the case of the bamboo plant, this network of roots was being developed, though it was not visible to the human eye. The same when we are doing God's will. Sometimes you're toiling, you're working, you're obeying God, you're doing exactly what He told you, and to your natural eyes, there's nothing happening to all appearance. But God Himself is doing something behind the scenes. There's a work going on in somebody's heart. There's something being done in the spirit that you cannot see. You've been fasting, you've been praying. Doesn't look like any results, but you've remained steadfast. You've remained immovable. You continue to do what God told you to do. And you remain confident that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Then what Paul told the Galatians will come to pass. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we don't faint. I want to encourage you with those words today. The Apostle Paul had to encourage this young church in Corinth to never think that what they are doing in the Lord is in vain. God always brings a result when we are steadfast, abounding in the work of the Lord, and confident that what we're doing is not in vain. God bless you and give you a victorious week. If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.com. www.faithfulfaith.org. We believe you will be blessed because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God.